Today is Tuesday, August the 21st. Joining us this morning is the General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District, Mr. Dave Hall.
Good morning, Brian.
How are you?
I'm excellent.
Is that a plural opinion or is that a personal
one? No, that's a public opinion poll opinion.
Oh. All right. We're going to have some fun this morning.
Yeah.
Or why do they say that? Is bacon.
I like bacon.
Where did we get the expression bringing home the bacon?
I don't know.
From county fairs. It was once the practice at fairs to grease a pig and let him loose among a number of blindfolded contestants. The man who successfully caught the greased pig could keep it. And so, of course, bring home
the bacon.
Yeah,
there you go.
Don't try that with the horse later this week when you're out there.
No, but you know, it sounds like
you'll
something
get lit
fun
up
for
on charges.
Yeah. sounds like a practice we ought to put back at the fair, though, don't you think?
I would think, particularly with Van Vleck.
You could have all the elected
the
officials.
Over it.
Yeah.
You could do something like that, you know.
What do you have Rex in here? Ask him about doing that at the fair.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
I think he prefers the processed pig for the barbecue, but we'll work on that one. Oh, boy. So how's the summer contracting season coming along for you guys?
Great. We're doing a lot of great stuff. The South Bay Well is charging along. Our new well that we have down there off of South Broadway. It's been a few years in the making, but we've got it drilled and flow tested. It's going to produce the same amount of water, no surprise, that we had out of the other well. But it's going to be in great shape. So we're in the process now of finishing it up, pouring a pad around it so we can put the pump motor on it, which is a heavy kind of a thing. So we got to wait a while for the concrete to cure and whatever. And then we can go ahead and plumb the thing up. We're thinking probably be online sometime in October.
How long is your curing process?
Well, 30 days.
Oh, okay.
For something that heavy. You know, it cures forever, but it
right.
to be in a place where we want to make sure it's good and tight and sealed.
30 days. And then the magic happens.
Yes. Well, in between there we're trenching in extended conduits and the plumbing it into our distribution system and stuff like that. So
I would suspect that there's a little bit of excitement around it.
There is.
Just because it's been so long.
It has. Well, and just, you know, the several years goes back to a point in time a few years ago where the board actually said, my board at Humboldt Community Services District actually said, well, maybe we want to look at rather than using the wells, rather than replacing this well, maybe we just look at buying more water from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District or the City of Eureka. Because remember, two-thirds of our water we purchase that the other third is what we produce out of the well. So we went through a water management alternatives analysis. It basically came back to where we are, that it was the most resilient system we thought we could do was to have three wells and then buy the other third of the water. So in case something happens to one or the other systems, we've got some other way to provide the services.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Again, back to our food analogy, not all your eggs are in one horse.
Exactly. Or in a basket.
Is well replacement something that happens on a more regular basis than what we would think would occur because of the fault lines and the seismic activity in the neighborhood?
Well, you know, it really depends. In our case, it was a steel casing, which is good for 50 years or something. It made it about 30. And there's principally we think it's because the screens for the well, so the water that we pick up for that well is down around 450 to 470 feet, somewhere around there, long ways down. Well, if you back up into the 100 to 200 foot range, there's actually a layer of kind of saline water, brackish water, salt water. So, you know, steel on that, even though we can have some protection for that, it just wears it out. And I think, as you mentioned, in that area too, the Little Salmon Fault isn't all that far away from that either. So through all the combination of things, we ended up with some issues with the casing itself that couldn't be repaired. So hence, we destroyed that well, we've drilled a new one, and off we go.
Did you have to pull it out?
No, it's a kind of an interesting process to officially destroy it. So you want to make sure that it's destroyed good, because you don't want a conduit like to get that salt water down into the good water that we have below this layer. Right, right. So in the simplest form, you fill it full of concrete, but you got to squeeze it outside of the casing also into what they call the annulus. It's the space outside the casing, but inside the hole that was the bigger hole that the casing was put in.
So kind of like Play-Doh a little bit.
Yeah, you kind of. Well, they do something pretty fun. They put like primer cord down there. You know, it's like dynamite on a string. And as they're putting the concrete in, they detonate this thing so that the weight of the concrete squeezes out. It splits the casing, the dynamite does. And it squirts out into this annulus and seals the thing up. Tried and true, works really really fantastic. So
it's got to be quick dry cement then.
It's pretty quick. This is interesting because this is a those wells down there are artesian, so they have to make it dense enough that it'll of course sink through that without being too watery or getting pushed back up ultimately. So there's a little bit of an art to the mix of concrete, but it's really pretty uneventful. You know, when they detonate it, you'd think it would be really exciting and whatever, and you barely feel a bump. So, and it's over.
Oh, but you were there for
the bump. Concrete level goes bloop, and that's it.
You were there for the bump.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can see it actually. Well.
Yep.
In theory, you
can
see it.
No, you can see the concrete because it's filled, and then you detonate it, and because it squeezes out, the concrete in the casing itself will drop, right?
And then they fill it back up.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Well destruction. And you want to do that. One of the wells we had was just out of service for decades, and it needed to be officially closed. And so we took care of this one, too. This is another one we have a little bit further up Humboldt Hill.
KINS News and Information Times, 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, the concept of the wells, I obviously in the old days that's what was, and that was it. For communities before, say, 1900, was that one of the primary limiting factors of size for a community, for a neighborhood, for a town, was how many wells could be sunk in and at what depth to be able to get the water?
I think clearly the access to water was a limiting factor to a community. You know, that's why the communities out in the desert were pretty sparse, and places that had water like out here could grow without a whole lot of effort. You remember way back though, people would just divert the river or something too. So
surface water.
And the surface water was the first thing to go to because it was right there. Then they got more sophisticated, and in places that there wasn't surface water readily available, you could dig wells, hand dug wells down to a water table. And then as things progressed, they worked into machinery that actually drilled wells.
I think being a well digger would be, I mean, you mentioned art and craft in the last segment. That's kind of what triggered my head was, there really is a lost art to some of the things that we take for granted now.
Yeah, exactly.
Back up a machine and punch it out. Digging a well must have been a significant challenge.
I don't think anybody really knows how cold the well digger's destination is.
Or how far down you got to go, too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to steer clear of that one.
Yeah.
Are any of the wells that are in our area the old-timey wells, or are they all now pretty much been replaced, whether it's municipal or whether it's...
Yeah, I think, there is a lot of wells in our area. I want to say off the top of my head, our wells are in what they call the Eureka Plain Aquifer. And so that basically goes almost from the, let's say, the north side of Eureka all the way to down to Table Bluff. So you can imagine there's all kinds of wells out there over 170 years of habitation here. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, of course, that are, those old ones are generally gone. You know, you kind of...
Would they be lined with anything?
In the old days, no. And then more and more, they put pipe in. But the pipe changed over time, just like the pipe in the, sewer and water in the ground. They go from clay to asbestos cement to plastic to steel to whatever. So through time, it was a change. But a lot of those wells that were in from, the early 1900s through probably the 50s are largely gone now. And gone, hopefully they were abandoned properly. A lot of cases they probably weren't. And they're just out in the bushes somewhere with a cap welded over the top of them, hopefully, or they've been filled in with gravel or something.
Not like a wishing well.
Yeah. No.
Where there's that exterior structure and all
right,
that.
Right, yeah. Right, right. Yeah, not too many of those. Those are more decorative out here, but anymore.
Yeah, but you certainly could tell. Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't done properly, the potential hazard of somebody or somebody's kid is out walking around in the woods.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you hear those stories back east,
right? Step through some branches and...
Yeah. Back east, you hear those stories all the time. Seems like there's a couple of those a year. Some kid falls into an abandoned or a not-so-well-abandoned well. So
they should be filled in.
Should be filled in. Should be filled in. The way that we've done it is the art of doing it now is to blow a hole in the casing or drill holes in the casing and then have cement go in at a viscosity that can squeeze through that and seal up the aquifer. So we don't have a conduit anymore between the good water and maybe something that's above that.
And you just seal it up on the top.
Yep.
Fill it in. Put your handprint on it and call it.
I know we didn't do that, but yeah, you should have.
That's right. You have a history with cement, don't you?
I do.
You don't want to get too close to
cement. I stay a little far away from it. Yeah.
Are there plans for any new wells or just replacing the existing?
A part of our study, the water management study, going back to that, was we had a couple of alternatives. One of them was we could just buy more water. One of them was we could do what we're doing now where we buy some and we have our own wells. The third option was we abandon buying water and just drill more wells. And the board had really decided that it was better to have the mix of things. To do the well the way we're doing it, which is all according to Hoyle, being it's a public well and, it's all got to be up to snuff and the best process we can. It's $400,000 to put that well in. So it's not a cheap endeavor to do that. But it should be there for, 50, 60 years. So
amortized out, it makes a little sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But to put in a whole field of wells, and frankly, although we know some of the capability of the aquifer that we're in, we really haven't. Nobody has done a very extensive research on its whole recharge rate or
kind of the status. The extent, of it.
Yeah.
So you can't do like an MRI.
Water. You kind of can, but again, that's a very expensive thing too. If we off on a little bit of a tangent, if the state says that we need to do a groundwater management plan. Right now we're a low priority basin, so we don't have to. If we move into the medium or high priority basins, then we have to do a groundwater management plan. And at that stage, then we will be forced really to kind of invest that kind of money and go through the whole thing. Right now there's not the pressure on that aquifer. We don't think just by judging of the few active wells that are out there.
The flow rates.
Yeah, and looking at how our well has reacted over the last 30, 40 years, there's lots of water down there for our uses at this time.
KINS, speaking of time, KINS News and Information Time is here.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hall. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and Redeck and American Ag Credit. Dave, the concern I think a lot of folks have with the water is probably similar to just infrastructure in general. Do we have enough for today? Is it dependable? Do we have enough for tomorrow? Is that dependable? Yeah, and kind of there. I mean, whether it's with bridges or roads and things of that nature, or whether it's electrical,
right,
and the internet stuff, and water kind of falls into one of those arenas. While we may not be thinking too terribly much about it, it certainly is. It's a growth inhibitor, if you want to look at it that way,
yep.
And it's also something that allows growth to occur. Are we ready for growth with our water infrastructure throughout Humboldt County?
Yeah, we are. We, as you know, just again, a little side thing, you know, that Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District that has the water rights out of Ruth Lake and down the Mad River to where they can pick it up down here in Fieldbrook. Their water rights are up in 2029, the current ones that they have. And so they've got access to all kinds of water out of there right now. One of the challenges that they've had is without that whole system, as you know, was built largely to satisfy the water needs of two pulp mills. And with the pulp mills gone, there's quite a, you know, quote, excess of water that's out there. And the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District is constantly working on water management plans to figure out, is there something they can do with that other amount of water, and if so, what is it, and are they going to be able to justify keeping the water right that they have now, which is, I believe, about 75 million gallons a day, or is it going to get pared back because they're not going to be able to show that we have a use for more than 20 or 30 million gallons a day for the domestic use, for our use around here. So to answer your question, long way around to answer your question, we've got lots of water for growth here, lots and lots of water for growth and for some, industrial development or
that's
something else.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is there a delineation or a separation or any kind of a recognition that the two are separate?
Yes.
Obviously, they're related, but that they're two separate things?
They're actually two separate systems. The drinking water that we get comes from these what we call the rainy wells. They're wells that go down under the Mad River, down there around Essex Park in that area, and they pull the water. It's kind of groundwater, but it's under the influence of the river once in a while during big flood conditions. So, as you recall, I don't know, probably 15 years ago or something, they built what they call a turbidity reduction facility that actually filters the water that comes out of that. The vast majority of it, the quote industrial water, comes off of a surface diversion off of the Mad in roughly the same area.
And really, it's surface water.
Yeah, it gets diverted, and that's a big pipeline that heads out along the spit. So, but there's the domestic water line, the municipal water line, also parallels it out there. In fact, Humboldt Community Services District gets our water from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District in a pipeline that goes out on the spit and then goes under the bay and pops up right behind the mall there at the foot of Truesdale Street. We have a big pump station there that then picks up the water from them and and runs it into our district.
So when we had the water fountain out in the middle of the cow field.
Yes.
Between Jacoby Creek, okay. Or the Bayside cutoff. And what was that?
Well, that's the city of Eureka's water line. So they have a diversion of the potable water, of the drinking water part of it, that runs a big transmission line that runs through all those cow fields all along that bottom land, and then comes up at Hubbard Street, Hubbard and Harris, right there, just where the fire station is, across from Redwood Acres.
That little building that's
in there. that's where it comes, and so we, Humboldt Community Service District, pick up water from that, from the city, and then the city gets their water that goes to their reservoirs from that same point.
So the service district then actually has three different sources.
Correct.
Water, your own pipe, and the city's pipe.
The city, the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, and our wells. Right, exactly. Of course, two of those, the city and Humboldt Bays, right, come from the same place. They come from...
They have different views as they get to the house.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, from a redundancy and a resiliency standpoint, that's a good thing to have it coming in three different directions, because then if there's a failure in one of them, we've got some more for our customers.
And that probably is the reason why the board didn't need more wells.
Yeah, right.
Because you've got enough broadening of source.
Yep.
Rather than a single source.
And that water management plan is that's a 20-year vision. So we're not going to revisit that unless something dramatic happens.
That would be during your term.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be here another 20 years.
Yeah. That's kind of a fear of many of us have. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back with Dave Hull this morning. Dave, the time of the year that we're in now also, there's a lot of construction that's going on, just various projects. Do those open up windows of opportunity for you?
Yeah, they do. And in fact, we've got an interesting opportunity that's come up. We've talked on previous programs about how the priorities kind of are a little bit fluid. We put together our five-year capital improvement program, but then things move. Yeah, fluid.
Right? Like Harrison.
Yeah, like things like that. When things happen,
bubble.
Then
fluid.
Okay. Well, so the opportunity that we've got now is a pretty interesting one. The city of Eureka is working on a wetland restoration project in the area that goes from, gotta visualize this, from essentially the close to the mouth of Elk River up to Tooby Road, which is kind of in the middle of that stretch between Elk River and the power plant. So it's from Elk River to Tooby Road and between the freeway and the bay, or the railroad tracks.
So you're saying the pasture just south of Herrick.
The pasture just south
of
Herrick.
On the bayside.
Yeah, okay, let's say that.
Let's take forever to describe it, though.
So they're doing a wetland restoration project in that area. We have a sewer line, a pretty critical sewer line that goes from, actually it starts in Fields Landing and goes all the way to the wastewater treatment plant and spends a lot of its time going right along the railroad right away, all through that area and actually off, you know, up to the power plant where it crosses under the freeway. That line, the Humboldt Community Service District inherited back in 1982 from County Service District, Service Area Number 3, which when the county dissolved their service areas, their wastewater treatment issues down in those areas, our district picked those up. So the line has been there since probably the mid-70s, and that's getting toward the end of its useful life. We have started, and we've had it on our long-term project to look at replacing that line, and we now have a little bit of an opportunity with the city to kind of do some of the project in conjunction with theirs. So we're headed down the path of trying to see if we can work on maybe a pre-disaster mitigation grant. It's a federal grant. to help us with that, because it is in that area and it is critical. It drains King Salmon, Fields Landing, and all of Humboldt Hill, and so it's only a single line. So if something happens to that, that's going to be a big problem. Again, it was something that was on the radar anyway, but we may have moved up the time schedule to see if we have some opportunity to work it with the city's project.
So the city's going to be out there digging things up anyway.
Correct.
Are you looking to expand the line or just replace the same?
Just replace it. And again, without this project or without this potential opportunity, we would probably be replacing it in the next 5 to 7, 8 years anyway.
Do you have to do the whole thing, or can you just do the segment that you're
working on? We're looking at now. We're actually working on replacing the whole thing. Is where we're starting right now. It possibly will be in phases. But
now, where does it go past the nuke plant? Does it go underneath it or between it and the levee?
It's between it and the freeway. Yeah, if you drive by, just kind of on the north side of the power plant. Just a little bit on the north side, you'll see a little grassy levee that goes angles kind of out toward the breakwater out there.
It's kind of like the walking path area.
That's where the sewer line's in that little levee that's there, and that goes under.
When there was erosion on that, there was a little bit of concern from the services district also.
Yes, there always is and part of the reason that got rebuilt 10 or 15 years ago, that breakwater, was because not only was there the railroad tracks right there, but our sewer line was right there. And then, of course, if you back up a little further, the freeway's there. So it's a good reason to keep that armored, that piece of shoreline.
So it makes sense to keep it in the same footprint?
Yes. Yes. It's the most direct route. There's no really other way to get it there.
And since it's being dug up already.
And it's being dug up already. We already have the easements. We already have it.
Rather than out where the old highway is, kind of where your pump is.
Right.
Might be more convenient today. But it isn't necessarily where you want it to be.
No, exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. So that's an opportunity. We're kind of excited about
that. Can you guys jump on that one this year when the city is
doing
this thing?
We're just in the early. The board just said, yeah, let's go for getting a grant application in and see where it goes. So we're doing some design and moving ahead.
I know where it goes.
Yeah, it goes down.
Across the finish line or downhill. Yeah, take your pick. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks.
Have fun out at the horse race.
Yeah.
See everybody tomorrow.